Innal hamdalillah wassalatu wassalamu ala asyrafil anbiya wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Welcome to the first day of the LEC in Hyderabad, and I am very happy to see that we have a full house in Tahajjud, and all my young friends are here, bright-eyed and so forth, almost bright-eyed and so forth. But alhamdulillah, this is good, and we prayed Tahajjud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward our Imam for his recitation, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran firm in his heart and make the Quran firm in his life and make him a representative, a walking, talking model of the Quran and a means of guidance for all of us and all those who come into contact with him. And the same dua for our Imam who led Salatul Fajr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and help him, and ensure that we all learn from him. I'm most grateful to both of them for honoring us by being present in this training session. And it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah has given us the company of ulama in the course of our being here for his pleasure, inshallah. So I want to ask you a question, and my question is, when you came here to the course, what did you bring with you? Can I have some answers? What did you bring? Anybody? Quick.
Yeah? Willingness to learn.
Willingness.
Open minds.
Some material stuff. What did you bring? Personal belongings. Toothbrush? No, not toothbrush. Brought the Quran. Okay, Musaf. What else? Notebook.
Clean slate.
Somebody actually has a slate. I know what you're saying. Hold on. Has to learn. What else? Huh? Niyat to have, to learn. So you brought your niyat and your clean slate, and you brought the Quran, and you brought writing pad, and I see some iPad somewhere around, and so forth. But one of the sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her, she let the cat out of the bag. My question to you, my brothers and sisters, is how many of you brought your hearts? How many of you brought your hearts? That sounds like a strange question, eh? Because nobody asks this question to us. How many of you brought your heart? And you know why I'm saying that? I'm saying that because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the people who deny him, he said it's not that their eyes are blind. He said it's not that the eyes go blind. He said it is the hearts which go blind. The hearts fi sudur, which are in the chests. He said the hearts go blind. In another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned people who are among the ghafilun, people who do not understand. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them specifically, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they have qulub la yafqahuna biha, but they don't understand with them. So the first question that I want you to ask yourself is, did you bring your heart?
Yes.
And if you say yes, what is the proof? And I'll give you the proof. Just now you prayed tahajjud. What did tahajjud do to your heart? What was the effect of tahajjud on your entire body? On your skin? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said when his kalam is recited, the skin softens. Did your skin soften? Were you conscious of anything happening to your skin? What happened to your eyes? Were there any tears in your eyes? It's not for showing people. If you are crying to show people, it is riya. What are the tears in your eyes? And my guess is that one of the reasons why there were no tears in your eyes is because most of you didn't have a clue what was being recited. For you, it was sound. As far as you are concerned, if the imam stood here and was singing rag Baradari or something, or rag Asavari, it would be the same thing, because it is sound. Nice sound, but sound. But what was he saying? What was he saying? He said, وَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ in Surah Al-Abasa, which the Imam recited in the second part of the fourth we read four rakat, and in the last of the rakat, he recited the second part of Surah Al-Abasa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا جَاءَتِ الصَّاخَّةِ يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. But for us it is sound. But if you understand what does it mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning. He says, when that second trumpet is blown, when that sakha, Allah is mentioning, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu amma nawaluhu is emphasizing that when this happens, what will happen? He said, person, people will run one from the other. The mother and father will run away from the children. The children will run away from the mother and father. The brother will run away from the brother, and the sister will run away from the sister. What must this do to us? Did that happen? Did that happen? You say you brought your heart. Which heart? What kind of heart? What kind of heart? A heart that does not understand. A heart that does not feel. A heart that is like a piece of rock. A heart that is filled with stuff. With jealousy and hatred and divisions and this and this and this and Allah knows what. Greed. What is the good of that heart? And that is why you are here. Every day tahajjud is the test to see whether anything is happening in the heart. And if nothing is happening in the heart, then the heart is dead. To live is not merely to draw breath. If a person is in a complete coma, he is still breathing. We are like that. We are like comatose people walking around. We are in a coma. Nothing has any effect. And one of the reasons for that is because we expose ourselves to all kinds of nonsense on television and this and that. And as if that is not enough, computer games. So the heart becomes dead, completely, no feeling left in the heart. So yes, indeed, you came for tahajjud, and yes, indeed, you prayed behind the imam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the reward for that. But did that tahajjud really do for you what it is supposed to do? Did it or did it not? What is tahajjud supposed to do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat of Surah Al-Muzzammil among the first ayat of the Quran to be revealed. And in Surah Al-Muzzammil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed tahajjud for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal muzzamil qumil layla illa qaleela. Allah said, oh, you wrapped in garments, stand up in the night, except for a little part. Illa qalil. Not stand up for a little part of the night. Stand up for the whole night, except for a little part. Nisfahu abin kusminu qalila. Awzid alayh. Half the night, three quarters of the night, a little more, little less. And do what? وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلَ. Recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a pleasing manner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, recite what we have sent to you. Sabak sunaiye. If you go to our madaris, to Darul Tahfiz, where the boy is doing hifz, what does he do? The ustad will be sitting here. Then he will call the boy. He said, Ashraf, come. Suna, dor, kya yaad kiya? So Ashraf will, whatever he memorized, one page, 2 pages, 10 pages, what he will recite. And then the ustad will correct. That is what is happening. Who is the ustad? The one who sent the kalam. Who is the student? The one who received that kalam. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. Why? Why must you do this? Why must you stand in the night? And why must you recite the kalam? Because you have a very great job to do. We are going to be sending on you something which is very heavy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, charge your batteries. How can you do this work if you have nothing inside? Qawlan thaqeela, very heavy word. Very valuable and very tremendous word. Inna nashiyata al-layli hiya ashaddu wat'an wa aqwa muqila. Allah says, yes, we know it is very difficult to get up in the night. Hiya ashadd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the superlative form of shadid. Shadid means difficult, hard. Ashadd is extremely hard. Allah said, yes, we know it is extremely hard. But do it. And this getting up, even though it is hard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the best thing to discipline yourself and to understand the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose of tahajjud is to discipline yourself. The purpose of tahajjud is to understand the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I said, I must compliment you on the fact that all of you, alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you and increase you in taqwa and iman and fill your hearts with his nur. All of you were here for tahajjud. We didn't have to, nobody had to call you or remind you or something. And may Allah maintain this in your lives for the rest of your lives as long as you live, inshallah. But the key thing to understand is that these were the first ayat of the Quran that were revealed. After the first ayat of Suratul Alaq, among the earliest ayat, there is a difference of opinion whether it is the first ayat of Suratul Muddassir or Muzzammil, but definitely these are among the earliest ayat to be revealed. And Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha narrates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the first 19 ayat of Suratul Muzzammil, and then for 1 year Allah did not reveal the 20th ayah, which is an ayah of rukhsa, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave some rukhsa, he gave some permission, some leniency. So she said, radiallahu anha, that the Sahaba prayed tahajjud with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for 1 year without fail. What is the hikmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to reveal the 20th ayah? And that's a beautiful ayah. where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bore witness. Allah is the witness, Jalla Jalaluhu, that the Sahaba prayed tahajjud with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna rabbaka ya'lamu annaka taqumu adna min thuluthay al-layli wa nisfahu wa thuluthahu wa nisfahu wa thuluthahu wa ta'ifatun min alladhina ma'ak wallahu yuqaddiru al-layla wan nahar. Allah bore witness. Inna rabbaka ya'lamu. Your Rabb is aware. Annaka taqumu. That you were standing. For the night, and your people with you. Ma'ak. They were with you. So my brothers and sisters, I would strongly advise you. The purpose of coming to the LEC is only one, and that is to change your lives. Anybody having difficulty sitting on the ground, sit on the chairs. Be comfortable. There's no, we don't want to put you in any pain. So if you have difficulty sitting on the ground, don't worry about that. Sit on the chairs. The purpose of coming here is to change your lives. Bring about the change in your life. And that change will happen only and only if you do things consciously, not by remote control. The kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu came to be read, to be understood, and then to be practiced. The kalam of Allah did not come to be read without understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his kalam to his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with what instructions? Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. Recite for them the ayat. Wa yuzakkihim. And purify them. Wa yuallimuhumul kitab. And explain to them these ayat. Teach them the kitab, teach them the ayat, wal hikmah, and show them how to practice that, practice those ayat. Give the, what is the wisdom behind it, what is the hikmat of this? Where in the Quran is it, has Allah said that you can recite the ayat of the Quran and that is enough? There is no need to understand. How is it that we learn the Quran only to read? How is it that we teach the Quran without any thought about teaching the meaning of the Quran? Yeah, those who do that must get their proof ready, because they will be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm saying this to you because this is what I want you to do. Read the meaning, learn the Arabic language, and until you learn the Arabic language, at least read the meanings of the Quran. It is so easy for us, because we have the whole thing available. You've got the meaning, you've got multiple translations. There's absolutely no excuse left if we stand behind the imam and we don't know what he's reciting. Really, seriously, there's no excuse. Quite apart from the loss. Quite apart from the loss. And you will find, I'm sure many of us have had this experience where the imam is reciting something, somebody standing next to you is crying, he's making dua, and you don't know what's going on. You have no clue what. Why is he crying? I don't know. That's tragic, right? So the LEC, you came here to change that. That's why I began by asking you, what did you bring? Did you bring your heart? So please bring your heart. Keep your heart with you. Examine your heart. Polish it, clean it. And the way to polish the heart and clean the heart is zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The cleaning of the heart is to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu. And among the azkar, the most important azkar are the azkar that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make after every fard salah without fail. And those have been given to you in your folder. There is a laminated sheet of paper. It has those adhkar. Make this fard on yourself, because this is the sunnah muakkada of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Make it fard on yourself that you will not get up from your place after the fard salah until you have finished those adhkar. Then make dua, then get up. We find people, as soon as the fard salah is over, first they hold their head and their heart like this. I don't know what's... Your brain will go away or something. And after that they stand up and Allahu Akbar, sunnat. So what shall we do with the sunnah muakkada of the adhkar of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So, among the changes that I suggest that you need to bring into your lives is, if you are among those who do this, don't do this. Sit peacefully, do the adhkar, and believe me, it doesn't take time, it's not a question of time. Do them with understanding, and we'll come to that, how to do dhikr. Do this adhkar muakkada, make dua, then stand up and pray sunnah. And if on a particular day, if you are in a great hurry, then make sure that you do those adhkar even more. Don't run away. Make sure you do them. Why? Because whatever you are in a hurry for, the solution for that is here. If you do the adhkar properly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that job easy for you. So you are in a hurry because you got to do something, some work. How to make that work happen fast? Make sure that you get it right here. Shaitan will tell you, I have to run from here. No. Finish this, then go. Finish this and go. And since we don't know what time we will die, then somebody sent me, people send me all kinds of stuff on the internet. Most of it is junk. But once in a while somebody sent me a good thing. And they sent me this story, Allah Alam, whether this story is true or not, but doesn't matter, irrespective of whether it is true or not. It's a good learning story. And the story was that there is this husband and wife, this couple. And the husband had this practice where when he was leaving his office, he would phone his wife and tell her what to cook for dinner. And she would cook that. And the wife had a practice, and that practice was that there was a masjid near their house. And as soon as she heard the adhan, then she would go and pray. Not, she wouldn't go to the masjid, she would pray in the house, but she would pray as soon as she heard the adhan, because the adhan would be called at the time of the salah. So as soon as the salah time began, she would pray. So this was her practice. As soon as she heard the adhan, she would go and pray. So one day the husband phoned her and said, told her to make, you know, the Egyptians and the Syrians and Lebanese, they make this, Palestinians also, they make this thing in grape leaves. They fold a triangular thing, they shape the grape leaf and they put mince meat and so on inside it and so on. It's very nice. But it's a complicated thing. It takes a long time to make. So the husband phoned her and she said, you know, can you please make that? She said, okay. So she started cooking. Now in the middle of that cooking, she had made maybe one or two. The adhan for Asr went off. Adhan for Asr went off. I'm talking about leaving the zikr of Allah because you are in hurry. So adhan for Asr went off. So the woman thought for a minute. She thought, I'm in the middle of this cooking. Let me finish it. After all, Asr, there is quite a lot of time. So I can pray. So let me finish this, then I'll go and pray. And she thought to herself, well, you know, I have a good practice. I always pray as soon as I hear the adhan. So let me go and pray. Then I will come back and finish the cooking. So she washed up and she went to make Asr. Now the husband came back home and he knocked on the door. Nobody opens the door, so he used his key. He came into the house, he called her name, there's no response. So he went into the kitchen and he saw this half cooking done. So he's muttering to himself and he says, now where did she go? Why couldn't she have finished this? And he went into the next room and he found his wife on the musalla in sujood, dead. So he thought to himself, he said, what would have happened if she had finished this? What would have happened if she has finished this is that she would have died in the kitchen instead of dying in Salah. Because the time of death is fixed. She would have died in the kitchen instead of dying in Salah. And that is the point that I want to remind you when Shaitan tells you, when you are making the Azkar Muakkada after Fard Salah, that you are in a hurry. Yeah, you are in a hurry. But if it is the time of your death, you will die making Zikr or you will die in a hurry, whichever. So decide. Now how is this Zikr to be done? I'm talking about Zikr. Purpose of Zikr is to clean the heart. How is the Zikr to be done? The Zikr, the way of doing Zikr is not Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. No. That's how most people do it. Yeah? May Allah forgive us. We count and we try to rush through it. No. As the ulama, as our salaf used to say, saying one Subhanallah with the haqq of the Subhanallah in your entire life is enough for you to enter Jannah, inshallah. Once. Now I'm not saying just say one Subhanallah and sit there for the whole day, no. But I'm saying at least respect that zikr of Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalla. Pronounce each of those things properly. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and so on. And try to concentrate on the meaning of that. How can you say Allahu Akbar and your heart is still full of fear and still full of shak and doubts and what Allahu Akbar is that? When you say Allahu Akbar, what are you saying? You're saying that there is no one greater than Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala Jalla Jalal. And you are worshipping Him. Allahu Akbar. Who al Akbar? He is the only one. Then how can a Muslim's heart be then full of doubt? How can you be depressed? How can you be sad? How can you be, worried? And how is it possible? It means that this Allahu Akbar was just some sound. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Get the ruh, get the spirit of that dhikr. This is how the heart will be cleaned. This is how the heart will be cleaned. Then the heart becomes a mirror for the tajalliyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Then the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will affect the heart. Then the skin will soften. Then the eyes will tear. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said the dryness of the eyes is a sign of the sickness of the heart, of the hardness of the heart. It is a heart disease. Heart disease is the hardness of the heart. And what is the symptom of that? The dryness of the eyes. Never cry. Hard hearts like rocks. And the hard heart is what is the fuel of Jahannam. Now one can understand if somebody who does not know Allah, his heart is hard. But somebody who is a Muslim, who understands, who knows the Quran, and he has, nothing happens to him. La hawla quwwata illa billah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَوَ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِيًا مُتَصَدِّيًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. If this kalam was sent onto a mountain, the mountain would humble itself. The mountain would be disintegrated. Min khashyatillah. With the khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. With the awe and majesty and glory and fear of offending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Many of you said you are here in order to increase your taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you what you came here for. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase your taqwa. But the sign of that is what? How to do that? With the proper zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you came here with your heart full of doubts, with your heart full of depression, with your heart full of sadness, then you came to the right place. But if you go away from here with us in the same situation, believe me, you have only yourself to blame. Nobody else. If you go away, You come here, you come to the laundry with a dirty piece of cloth and you go back with the same dirty piece of cloth. It is not the fault of the laundry, it's your fault. You didn't wash it. The laundry is running. The laundromat is running. If you didn't wash your cloth, you're going to go back with a dirty cloth, that's your fault. So wash the cloth. Wash the cloth. Start with the tahajjud. Come and stand. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you come for tahajjud. Make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, open my heart. Make dua to Allah. Cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say, Allah, have pity on me. Have pity on me. Look at me. Look at me. Your kalam is being recited, nothing happens to me. Allah, have mercy on me. One more rock in your jahannam, I don't want to be that. Make dua. Cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Then come and stand. Don't just come mechanically. Alhamdulillah, you came. May Allah bless you. But I'm trying to see how you can maximize that. How can you get the maximum benefit of that? Focus on yourself. This whole course, 5 days, is to focus on yourself. Don't waste your time hanging out with your friends and so on and so forth. Alhamdulillah, we see a lot of young people. May Allah bless all of you. Have fun. Nothing wrong with that. And there will be plenty of opportunity for that. But continuously focus on yourself. Don't waste time browsing the net and this and that and stuff. No. Focus on yourself. Your heart. You came here with a purpose. You came here for a reason. Take it and go. The treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not bound. There's no boundaries. There's no limits. Take as much as you can carry. And ask Allah to give you the capacity to carry more and more and more. Go from here with the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm telling you very clearly, if you go without that, you have only yourself to blame. Don't do that. Take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sign of that is what will happen to your heart. The khashyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The manifestation of that khashyat in yourself is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bring the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam into your hearts. The visibility, the visible sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I see some people here who have not yet reached puberty, so their beards are not showing. So I suggest that you quickly reach puberty. And for some of you, all that needs to be done is you recognize how old you are. Stop doing it. How many times do you want me to tell you that to shave your beard when you are a man is haram? It is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What have you got against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? MashaAllah, many of my young brothers, alhamdulillah, may Allah bless them. They've understood the word, they've understood the message, and they don't do it. But the older ones, कुछ तो करो यार थोड़ा शर्म तो करो द सुन्ना ऑफ नबी सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम द अहकाम ऑफ अल्लाह सुभान व तआला जल्ल जलालहू ऑल द सिस्टर्स माशाल्लाह एवरीबॉडी इज सिटिंग इन हिजाब वेरी गुड हिजाब इज नॉट रेस्ट्रिक्टेड टू द एलईसी इट इज नॉट रेस्ट्रिक्टेड टू द मस्जिद इट इज नॉट रेस्ट्रिक्टेड इट्स पार्ट ऑफ योर पर्सोना वेयर एवर यू आर इन ए पब्लिक प्लेस Where anyone who's not mahram to you is there, hijab is fard on you. This is your symbol, this is your sign. Don't leave it. People who take their hijab off are poor, scared little cats without self-confidence. Because if you had confidence, you would look like a Muslimah. The fact that you take your hijab off means that you are frightened, you've got no confidence. You got no confidence in yourself. You got no confidence in Islam. You want to hide. You want to look like everybody else. You want to be a little sheep in the herd. Where is your leadership? Where is the leadership? To lead, you have to differentiate. You have to be different in a positive way. And there's nothing more positive than the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Differentiation creates brand. Brand creates loyalty. Without differentiation, you are a grain of sack or grain of rice in a sack. You are still rice, but you are one grain in a sack. Nobody knows. You lived, you died, who cares? So differentiate. Stand out. Stand out. A flag is saluted only when it's flying high on a flagpole. Nobody salutes a flag which has just been washed and it's put on a clothesline to dry. It's the same piece of cloth, same colors. Have you ever seen somebody stopping there and saluting the clothesline because there is a flag? No. A flag on a clothesline is a piece of cloth. But the same piece of cloth when it is raised on the mast is a symbol of the nation. You don't salute the flag, you don't salute a piece of cloth. You are saluting your nation. That's a symbol of your nation. It's not a piece of cloth anymore. It's become something. My brothers and sisters, I strongly recommend and advise you, become symbols of Islam. Become symbols of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Become symbols of the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then see how the world is laid down at your feet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn your enemies into your friends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the doors of His treasures for you. All your fears and anxieties and everything and depression, everything will vanish because you are the symbol of the ahkam of the rules of and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Do karenge bhai? Huh? The sunnah for the men. No more shaving anymore from today, yes? Even for the ones who have not yet attained puberty. And for the women, hijab is hijab, right? No graceful draping of the dupatta on the head, that doesn't work. Seriously, it doesn't work, that's not hijab. Proper hijab, and you know what proper hijab is, I don't have to explain. Everybody knows. Today, our biggest fitna is that we have all this knowledge. Please understand this, you're going into your grave with all that knowledge as a witness against you. Don't do that. Use the knowledge. And let the knowledge benefit you. So bring your hearts, clean those hearts with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, and focus on yourself. Take from here whatever you need. It's all there. Take whatever you need. And as I told you, if you go without that, you are doing yourself a disservice. You took 5 days out of your life. It's not funny. You took 5 days out of your life to come here. May Allah bless you and may Allah give you the maximum reward for that time. But if you take 5 days out of your life and you come here and you go away without getting something, then that's a waste of 5 days of your life. And that 5 days, I told you yesterday, what is the how to measure the value of the 5 days? Time of death. When you are dying, if Malakul Maut comes and says, I am going to give you 5 days, pay me for it. What will you pay? That is the value of these 5 days. So maximize that value. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you, to benefit you, and to open His treasures for you, and to accept all your du'as. You are out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah accepts du'as. So ask Allah whatever you want and take from here. Do not go away without getting your du'as accepted. Ask Allah in tahajjud, in the rest of the day, make du'as. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever you want. And I ask my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu to give you whatever you ask, inshallah, with khair. Make the du'as. Make du'as. That's why you came here. You came here to take. So take. Allah does not call to take from you. Allah calls to give you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called you here. You came here. So take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. I want to end only with one example. The difference between the kings of the world who have treasures and the real king. تَعَلَى اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْكَرِيمِ. The difference between the kings of the world who have treasures and the real king who has treasures. You know what is the difference? The kings of the world who have treasures have guards to prevent people from taking from those treasures. They have second, two and three and four and ten lines of security. Fort Knox. The people who have treasures of this world guard them. They don't want people to take from them. But the real king who has all the treasures, who owns the treasures of those who have treasures, and he owns them also. He also has people standing at the doorway of his treasure houses. To do what? To invite people to come and take from the treasures. His treasure houses have no doors, they are not locked. And he has people, he has the Anbiya alayhimu salam, and he has the people who come, who follow in the path of the Anbiya alayhimu salam. And their job is what? To tell people to loot. Take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to prevent them. Take from the treasures of Allah. Come, take from the, take. That is the difference. So you are here to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. Do not go empty handed. Do not go empty-handed. Take all your anxieties and all your depression and all your doubts and all your problems. Take them and dump them in the garbage. There's a garbage can there. Dump all of that there. Symbolically, dump it all. Write it down on a piece of paper. Scrumple the piece of paper. Throw it in the garbage. Seriously, do that. Seriously, do that. Write all your doubts, whatever you've got, all fears and so on. Crumple it up. Throw it in that garbage can, because that is where it belongs. And take from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu peace and calmness and confidence. The one who says Allahu Akbar, the one who just made sujood to Allah, if he is not confident, who is supposed to be confident? And go from here with that, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you, to accept your coming here, to give you thawab in a way that you cannot even imagine. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your du'as like he used to accept the du'as of his anbiya. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire in you to ask that which is beneficial to you and to give you that which is beneficial to you, because he knows that better than you. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.